Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to the first episode of the new year of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. We're going to do a different thing. This is going to be Hanako and I kind of maybe recapping the year and figuring out what we're looking forward to in 2015, like the crap that happened in sci-fi and fantasy and horror in 2014 and how it's going to affect our year to come.
Sounds good. Happy New Year, everyone.
Woo, break it out. So Hanako was just like calling me like 5 minutes ago or text me 5 minutes ago. Let's record something. And I was like, okay.
I just needed to do something. You realize I haven't been on the show since we did the epic Walking Dead premiere, I believe. No, I think yeah. I've done maybe one more since then, but it's like I've been chomping at the bit. And I was like, okay, we got 2 weeks break, you know, time to catch up on blogging, time to catch up on podcasting, and none of that happened. So,
well,
I was just like,
okay,
I just need to get a little something out my system.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, the Sci-Fi Party Line is going to be kind of not on, well, you notice for the past few years, it hasn't been a schedule, whereas it used to be one. So, you know, me in school, you know, schedule is out the door.
Yes, yes. So, and I understand because I'm in school. In school. I'm working full time. I'm raising 3 kids. So it kind of gets hectic.
Yeah.
Just a little hectic.
Just a tiny bit. And so, you know, we'll get back on schedule soon. We haven't done a whole bunch of things, but, you know, we didn't give up on the podcast. We didn't pod fade. So that is a triumph. And, you know, I think I got a year and a half more of school. So after that, maybe perhaps, you know, we'll get on a regular schedule. And I will say that this is Carl's fault.
Oh, yes. Yes, let's blame it on Carl.
Totally.
We blame everything on Carl. Hey, Carl,
totally.
Happy New Year. We're already blaming stuff on you.
Right, get it right in the new year. So, like, I think Hanako sent me this exasperated message on Instagram about Joe, how do you pronounce his
Mangiello?
Yeah.
You guys know who we're talking about.
That is Alcide
from True Blood
in his shirtless glory.
Yes.
He's been engaged to Sophia Hoochie Mama, whatever her name is.
Oh, and that's not nice. I know.
And we don't like it.
Nope. We never get a chance.
You had a chance at DragonCon, but you decided to look at his back.
Well,
you
didn't
actually
wanna
pose in a picture with him, and you did not work your feminine wiles on
you
it.
You know what? I didn't want to come out the gate straight stalker. You know, you got to kind of ease into that.
No, you got to have your pitch and start planting seeds. You got to be aggressive because that man is always on the go. And you let Sophia get in, whatever her name is, get in there and take a man, girl.
Well,
you got to be aggressive.
That's life. But there's so many other nice, you know, your manifest list, may I say, I have to bow down to you. Your 2014 manifest list was awesome. If you guys haven't seen it, you need to go to her website, the blog, or scifipartyline.com and see this glorious list of the finest shirtless men in sci-fi TV and movies for 2014. It's a really, really educational list.
Yeah, well, you know, that is my tradition. I've been doing it since 2009, and it's a lot of work and a lot of effort to find shirtless pictures of men in sci-fi, and it takes an inordinate amount of time to do this and curate this. And, you know, it was so stressful to look at pictures of shirtless men, I gotta say.
I would think the stressful part for me would be trying to narrow it down to 10.
Yeah, no, I had 15 this year.
Oh, did you? Oh, yes, the list was longer.
I had
yes.
15 and an honorable mention of Chris Hemsworth because he wasn't in any films.
You know, and but that tripped me out when because... I saw that. I said, wait, he did put, no, he didn't put out anything this year. And he was still people's sexiest man alive and just, yes, but, you know.
Now, I declared him that like 3 years ago. They are late to the
They're
game.
They're late. They're late. That's okay.
Late to the game.
That's okay. So. See, they have to pick from everything, whereas we pretty much focus on sci-fi, fantasy, TV, and movies. So we have
you know, that's all you really need, though. That's all you really need in life.
This is true. This is true. This is true. All that other stuff is just extra.
Mm, no, you don't need that. Mm-mm. It's not necessary.
But, you know, I will I will say that, you know, I'm kind of behind on certain shows. Like there are some shows where I watched the first couple of episodes and then I just kind of fell off because of the whole real life stuff. But I really need to. Yeah, Gotham is one, but I really need to get back into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because you had several on your list from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm
it
like,
was
wait,
just two. It was just
was it just two? You yeah. sure? I thought it was more than that, but okay. Well, anyway, I don't remember either of them from when I watched the show, but you know, I watched the show when it first came out, and I think I got up to only like episode 3 or 4. So I've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a rough start. It's still not my favorite show. There's something still a little too Disney about it that really bothers me. Sky is not my favorite character. I think whoever's insistence on keeping her as a character is really pulling the show back. I think Fitz and Simmons don't belong. I want it to be an edgier, grittier show because the movies themselves, to me, don't feel as candy-like as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're not dark by any means, but I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just too family-friendly, and it's I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've heard good things about it. I've heard some not so good things about it. I haven't heard anyone out and out just hate the show. So, you know, that'll be one of the things I try to get caught up with. There's just so much TV out there. I really need a clone. I mean, literally the last 2 weeks I've been home. And I've pretty much, I did finally see Guardians of the Galaxy. Loved it. I did finally see X-Men Days of Future Past. And then mm-hmm. I have been doing nothing but binge watching Lost Girl for like the last week and a half.
That's a decent one, but I kind of fell off on it as well because it's
it has its moments. It's okay. I started watching it about a year and a half ago, and I got through the first season all the way up to halfway the second season, and I just kind of fell off because it kind of started boring me, and it gets a little cheesy at times, and the acting is not the greatest with some of the characters. I wasn't really feeling it, so I just kind of fell off on it. But I do like some of the characters. I like the dynamic between the characters. So, and then, you know, last year, 2014, we had several of the actors come to Dragon Con. And this year, Dragon Con has started off naming some of the actors that are coming this year. And they've got a lot of Lost Girl people coming. So I said, okay, you know what? This is my sign that I need to go ahead and catch up on the show and see what's going on. But I've also been apprehensive about it because one of my favorite characters on the show, I heard that she got killed off. And I was like, I don't know if I want to watch it now. But since she's going over to Orphan Black this year. So I'm a little excited about that. So I'm like, okay, well, she's going from one good show to an awesome show. So I'll go ahead and catch up. So that's what I've been doing for the last week and a half. I'm like halfway into season 4 now.
Wow.
So I've just got to finish up season 4, and I think they had a 5th season that I have to find because it's not on Netflix. But once I do that, I'll be completely caught up with that. And I'm pretty much caught up with everything else that I've been watching. Walking Dead, Sleepy Hollow, I think the only thing I'm not caught up with is probably Once Upon a Time, as far as like my regular shows, the shows that I absolutely have to watch. So I'm caught up with everything. I finally got caught up on Supernatural, and oh my God, I'm so in love with this season. It's
this season has been good. But don't say too much because I don't think I'm caught up.
Okay, I'm not gonna. I won't say anything. But I'm just saying it's starting to feel a little bit more like classic Supernatural to me. Like they're not just focused on this one little thing that's dragging on for 2 and 3 seasons. It's like they're kind of mixing it, and it's good. And then there's been some surprises in the last couple of episodes where, you know, it's kind of like, oh, definitely did not see that coming. So. But it's been fun watching it. It's been hilarious. I like humanized Crowley. He's absolutely hilarious. But so I'm actually falling back in love with the show, which is a good thing because it was to a point for a couple of seasons where I was like, okay, you guys are really dragging this out. I love the show. Love the boys. You know, I've been a watcher since the beginning. But it was just kind of starting to feel a little stale to me. And I think this season they've really kind of reinvigorated it.
I absolutely agree with you, Hanako. I think that, after doing something for so long, 10 years, Stargate SG-1 never reinvigorated itself. It tried to, but then it went with like, I don't know, King Arthur and like Christianity or something like that. Yeah, and it just kind of lost everything. And with Supernatural, they did a whole lot of thing with angels and it was kind of interesting, but they kind of, you know, dipped in that well a little too many times. And you're right, it did get stale, but I absolutely agree that this season they're doing more of, you know, going on hunts. And Evil Dean to me was really delicious. I loved him, Evil. Yes. I did not expect him to be such a great bad guy because it was very subtle, you know? So I really enjoyed Dean as a bad guy. And I don't know, I haven't watched, the last thing I watched was him not killing that guy who was trying to kill him for killing his father. That's like the last
one.
Oh,
so you haven't even seen the musical yet?
Yeah, no, you're right. I've seen the musical. Oh, okay. Oh my God, the musical.
That
was
such
so glorious.
A great episode.
Oh my God.
Who in the hell expects to start crying during Carry On My Wayward Son? I mean, I usually tear up a little bit when
angelic.
I hear it. But it was, I mean, just the whole episode was just, it was just really great.
All right. It was just like, oh my God.
It was a great episode from start to finish. I mean, even the dynamic with the boys felt a little bit more classic than, you know, I understand that there's drama between the two and they've always had issues with each other, but I have to say the Dean versus Sam wine fest that's been going on for the last few years has really, really, really irked my nerves.
Yeah.
It's like you get pissed off because the other person brings you back to life. Oh, I wouldn't have wanted this, that, and the other, whatever. And then it's so, yeah. I wouldn't have done it. You know, Sam was the big one. If it was me, no, I wouldn't have done it. But yet, as soon as Dean goes off the edge, he turns into a demon. He tells you, leave me alone. What do? You do everything under the sun to get him back. Just admit it. You guys can't live without each other. You're the only family you have left. And just stop all the bitching and whining and get back to, you know, saving people, hunting things, the family business. So that episode was a really good one.
That, yeah, you're right. I mean, that one was just a glorious, let's bring it back. Let's remember why we love this show, kind of refocusing thing that this episode had. And I love that they pointed out the necklace that Dean used to wear all the time.
Yes.
That was just, I forgot about that thing, you know? I was just like, what? I mean, because I just like, it was just like, it wasn't there and I didn't never missed it. And then like, they brought it back and I was like, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was fun. It was hilarious too, because I mean, just the little bitty things that they point at that we never think about anymore. Like, I completely forgot about the fact that Bobby was in a wheelchair at one point. Completely forgot about that. And
I kind of remember that.
So I think it was he got shot, I believe it was. It was like early, like maybe third season or something. So, and then of course, you know, they had to remind them, hey, you guys still have a brother that's sitting in, you know, that's sitting in the cage. And it's like what I heard.
It's like, who was that? And it's like, that's your brother. And they were just like, oh.
Yeah, that's the other Winchester brother, Adam. That's not a, and I was just like, ooh, yep. Y'all was so busy saving each other. Y'all forgot about little brother downstairs. But, you know, they didn't grow up with him. So he doesn't, well, I won't say he doesn't matter, but he doesn't matter. But, you know, it did kind of make me nostalgic for the old Supernatural and all the characters. You know, of course, I always miss Bobby. I don't care if Bobby is sitting in heaven drinking brewskis, whatever, right now. I want Bobby back. It's just the show is just not the same without him. There's just always
just
something missing.
I really dislike the writing thing where in order to get feels, they kill off a character. That type of writing bothers me because they've killed off so many great characters that you can't go back to. They made these people really likable, really fun. And I think, you know, part of the reason, Hanako, that the show became stale is because we didn't have that same group of characters to go back to make it exciting. Like the one character, Loki. Oh my God. You know?
Yeah.
You want the two, the Ellen and her daughter.
Yes,
and,
Joe and Ellen.
And then so it's just like all these people that they got rid of, that they were just like, yeah, we're just gonna, you know, just throw these people away in our younger years, and now that we don't have them, and they got to introduce new characters that we don't know, and they're not as good, and I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, they do still have some characters from earlier seasons that they have brought back. Like, I like the fact that they keep Sheriff Jody Mills coming back every couple of episodes, because I think now
I fear for her.
I do too, but for right now, she seems to be like she is that, I guess that kind of stable figure for the guys that all the others used to be. It's like she's something familiar, and she doesn't demand a whole bunch from them, and because of the fact that she actually knows what's going on, she's actually helpful. So it was good to see, you know, she was in one of the later episodes. I think maybe one of the ones that you haven't seen yet. But, you know, it's really good to see her character come up, you know, every once in a while. It was really good to see Chuck again. But now I want to know, where have you been and what are you doing now? And can you please bring Kevin Tran back? I just...
Kevin Tran was one of the ones that I could care less about, or couldn't care, whatever. I mean, he just felt shoehorned or whatever, and I wasn't inspired by anything that he had to do. I mean, he was a cute character, and I love meeting him, but I just think, you know, just to bring him in, bring his mom in, just to kill him off, you know?
Yeah.
I think I was exhausted at that point. I was exhausted. So it may not be Kevin that I dislike. I just, you know, that particular season was one of the seasons where, you know, I don't know. And then I think they kind of squandered the Men of Letters thing. They kind of did something good with it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, wow. I think we like this more than we thought we did, because we're talking about this for a long time.
Yeah. So it was good though. But yeah, can we move on to other shows with this whole senseless killing of characters? Because I got some things to say about Sleepy Hollow and The Walking Dead.
Oh, child. Okay, let's start with Sleepy Hollow.
In case y'all didn't know, we's gonna have some spoilers in here.
Well, did you have to go back 100 years with that grammar?
I'm just saying, because that's kind of how I feel about the killing of Mr. Captain Frank Irving right now.
I knew he was gonna die though. I knew it, and let me tell you why I knew it. I knew it as soon as they took him from being the head. Or the police officer, captain or whatever.
Right.
As soon as he was removed and put in the insane asylum, and then somebody came in and replaced him, I knew he was out. They kept his
what do you call those? His role became slimmer and slimmer. And I just knew when I saw him on that battlefield that he was going to have to sacrifice himself.
And I understand that. But my whole thing is, why? You took a character that you took a strong character, someone who had an actual part to play in the story, and you put him on the back burner and bring in this character. Like, I, you know, nothing against the actress. I absolutely hate the character of Sheriff Reyes. She doesn't serve a purpose for me. She's just, I don't know. She's just an antagonist that's, she's getting on my nerves. She needs to go. And I just don't understand.
But you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? You're going to start to like her and then they're going to kill her off.
No, I'm really hoping they find some way, because of course this is Sleepy Hollow. Dead doesn't necessarily mean dead. So I'm hoping they find a way to still bring Irving back. I don't know.
Because he was such a cheerleader for the show. And so for them to just do this all willy-nilly.
Right. And just the fact that Orlando Jones is like so huge in the Sleepy Hollow fandom. You know, if
right.
You, like, I started my Tumblr account back up just so I could follow his Tumblr, because he's hilarious. I mean, he makes he makes references that most other stars when it comes to fandoms probably have no clue about. You know, he talks about fan fiction and he actually ships characters and he does.
What?
Oh my. You have to take some time out of your day and just.
I am not.
Just scroll through his Tumblr. When I tell you, if you're ever depressed, if you are feeling bad about life, go scroll through Orlando Jones's Tumblr. I swear you will feel better within 5 minutes. I mean, he has his serious stuff on there too. He's, you know, he's talked some stuff about, you know, all of the social issues that we've had in the Black community over the last couple of months. So he does get on the serious tip as well, but his fandom stuff is absolutely hilarious. Like, after Frank Irving died, he posted a video, and I posted it on my blog this morning. And it was a video where he was basically telling people, he was giving everyone an accounting of his character from season one all the way till his death. And it was the funniest commentary I've seen. And it was just like, you guys got rid of this? Why? Like, he was probably out of the show. He was probably the main supporter of the show as far as the actors and characters. Not saying that the other ones don't, but he has a huge social media presence. And he really does promote this show. So you would take the most vocal supporter of your show from within the cast and just get rid of him. I don't understand it. Like I said, I'm hoping they have something else in mind for his character. I hope that this is not the last we've seen of him. But yeah, you know,
I agree.
Bring him back, put him back in the sheriff's chair or in the captain's chair where he was. Get rid of Reyes. I don't even care for Holly too much right now. So
I like Holly. I like him.
I don't, simply because he had this thing going on with Jenny and now he's trying to make moves on Abby. That's a huge no-no. You don't go from one sister to the other. Next. No.
Yeah, that is true.
No.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well.
But he did come in handy. They did have some really good, they had some really good episodes this season. That mama episode.
Weren't we crying? Didn't we?
Yes. Yes.
Text each other about crying or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or tweet each other. I don't know. That was crazy.
But it was such a good episode.
All this time, Jenny thought her mom tried to kill her.
And she was really trying to
realize,
that she was being controlled and all this other stuff. But it was such a good episode. I really want to see more episodes like that. You know, kind of going into the backgrounds of the other characters. The other thing I'm really getting tired of, Miss I'm the Head Witch Bitch Katrina and her non-witching skills. Someone please do something with this character, because for someone who's supposed to be a witch,
she ain't gonna make it.
She might not, but at this point, I don't even care. I mean, you were such a powerful witch. You were able to put your husband in a sleep for 250 years so that he could stop the pending apocalypse, but you can't.
I
just.
Maybe it was a one-time spell that was out of control. You know, the thing that I notice about what's happening with Katrina's storyline is she did a lot of things to make us dislike this character. And they kind of went into it about Ichabod. You hid the fact that we had a son. You hid the fact that you were kind of witness to my ex-girlfriend, betrothed person's death.
Right.
And you wrote a fake letter, and now you're kind of sleeping with the enemy. Was it one more thing she did? I forgot about. But like, it feels like they're building a case against her dying or sacrificing herself at Ichabod, and like there's this Abby Ichabod thing going on.
There's been an Abby Ichabod thing going on since episode one.
I know, but they're more like Mulder and Scully season one, season two, where there's genuine love there, but not the sexual type. Maybe kind of tension, but there's genuine love, but not they're keeping a wall, you know?
Right. Which means it's going to be an epic love story when it happens, because
girl, because if they have an alien baby,
no. But I'm just saying, you know, the best love stories are those that start in friendship, and I mean, just the respect and admiration Abby and Ichabod have for each other. It's like right now, even though I feel it, I kind of like the fact that they're not romantically involved. Because it's fun to watch their friendship grow, you know, especially as Ichabod has to learn to navigate this century. It's just fun learning him, you know, it's just fun watching him learn different things, like about the Starbucks and about yoga and about the motorcycle. His reaction when he got off the motorcycle was so hilarious, but I loved it because Tom Eisen really portrays it like, oh, this is the first time, this is so cool, without it being overly corny. So I actually like watching the two of them play off each other. So, you know, I want to see more of that. But the whole Katrina thing is just kind of, for me, it's just one of those things that's just kind of pulling everything down. Like, we're so focused on Katrina, and Katrina is the thing in the middle. Well, at first it was Katrina being in the middle. You know, Abby is like, well, you've got to let her do what she wants to do, and Ichabod's like, no, I need to protect her. No, dude, she's been without you for 250 years, she's cool, believe me, she's good.
And then going purgatory.
Right, but still, I mean, even in purgatory she was doing more magic than she is now, you know, appearing to people in windows, I mean mirrors, and showing up in rooms and passing messages. She did more in purgatory in season one than she's done on Earth in season two. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
She was maybe...
You know, my favorite... Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, my favorite was... We have a little lag, so... my favorite is Ichabod driving.
Yes.
And he kind of was going on a lesson with Abby, and she was like, well, you need to blah, blah. And then he started kind of doing some fancy driving,
right.
And she was like, okay, you've been practicing, don't show off. So
yeah.
I really love how Sleepy Hollow has just turned from something sounding so ridiculous, like, oh my god, we're gonna make a TV show called Sleepy Hollow, and we're gonna have a headless horseman walking around, and we're gonna bring back Ichabod. That sounds ridiculous. Like, what does that mean? No, there's no way this is gonna be enjoyable. And
it's like one of the best shows. It's one of the best shows on TV right now.
So that's stupid on paper.
But okay, so now Moloch has been killed, or we think, you know, Henry actually did a solid and did away with Moloch, which I knew was coming. I knew it was going to happen, especially once we got to see how Moloch really treats Henry. I said, that's not going to go over well. You don't belittle the person with the sword that can kill you while he's holding it in front of you. That's just, I saw that happening, but what are they going to do?
Well, you got to maintain some control, so.
Yeah, but you don't have control when somebody with the sword, the only sword that can kill you, is standing in front of you, and you're, you know, telling him he means nothing and he's just a means to an end and there would be more after you. Who does that? But, you know, arrogant bad guys. I guess they do, and they get stabbed with the sword. So
I guess that was supposed to make him feel humble and say, you're just, you know, the one guy or whatever. And for him to take Moloch's side and join him would mean that he was more than those other people. Therefore, something, something.
Yeah, whatever.
No.
Henry's a little complex. You know, that it doesn't work.
Yeah, you know, I'm always simply. Trying to see the good in things. I'm always trying to see the good.
Well, we'll see. Since he turned the tide, now he's kind of, you know, he's kind of the cast out from Moloch's side now. So we don't know what that's going to bring. Maybe with that sacrifice, there's a way for Irving to come back. Yes, I'm still on the Irving thing. So I don't know. But now it's like Moloch was the whole threat for the first part of season two. So now what's next? I don't know.
I guess we'll see. I don't know. Yeah, okay. We'll watch what's next. But, yeah. You know, talking about Sleepy Hollow, let's go ahead and jump to Walking Dead.
Okay, here's the funny thing. In that character video that I just told you that Orlando Jones did for his character, the last thing he said on that video, he said, then I died. And he said something like, well, here's the question that I want to ask. Why did they have to kill Beth? And I was like, see, there it is. It's just, that whole.
Well, let me tell you why. I knew when they kidnapped her and she was gone for a whole season, nobody knew anything about her. Nobody knew where she was. And the show was still good without her character. She was out.
I know, but still, I mean,
we don't need that. The show can still go on without her character. She doesn't bring that much to the table. As a matter of fact, Hanako, I'm super pissed about Beth's death. Not because she's dead, it's because I saw a spoiler of it prior.
Girl, we're not even gonna talk about the spoilers because AMC.
Oh my God! No, not even that AMC thing. I'm talking about weeks before, like maybe 5 weeks, maybe 2-3 episodes into the new season. I was searching for, it was when we did the premiere episode. I was searching for photos to put on, you know, attached to the post about Walking Dead. So right. I searched for photos, I searched for whatever. And then, so I come across this picture with Beth and her throat slit and blood all over her. And I'm like, what is this photo, you know? And so I don't even know if her throat was slit, but I saw her kind of laying there dead with blood all over her. And I was like, oh my God, why is this picture floating around on Google unchecked? And I just knew that there's no way that makeup and special effects would do that to that character. There'll be photographic evidence of her dead in costume and her not dying at the end of the season. So I wasn't surprised, and I had already gotten over it.
Yeah, but this is the thing. I was upset because that night, of course, you know, I didn't have cable at the time. I had just finished moving, so nothing had been set up here yet. And I was trying to stay off Facebook because I know Facebook, you know, tends to post spoilers, or, you know, I have a lot of friends on my feed that don't understand they don't understand the whole, I guess what you call it, the window that you give people, because of course we see it here, but there's still people on the West Coast who haven't seen it. They won't see it for 3 hours. So I always try to be mindful of that when I talk about the show. I may talk about it in vague terms, or I don't talk about it at all, and I completely stay off Twitter. Because everybody knows if you want to be spoiled on the show, Twitter, everybody live tweets everything on Twitter. So you don't go to Twitter. So I was scrolling through Instagram, minding my own business. And 5 minutes before the episode ends, AMC's Walking Dead Instagram posts a picture of Daryl carrying Beth out. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I was, and I immediately got off Instagram.
It's too late now.
Went over to Facebook just to check something else, and I could just see everybody else's feed. Like, everybody was like, oh my God, no, I'm crying. This, that, and other. What the fuck? You know, just all these different things. Because
they put it on Facebook too. I saw the Facebook post.
I actually missed the Facebook one, but I was seeing everybody else's status updates. And I was like, oh, that shit's true. Like, why would they do that? It hasn't even aired on. So we, you know, they came back a few days later and issued an apology, because when I tell you, they got
damaged,
blazed
done.
So much. Instagram, Facebook, the website, oh my God, so many fans were so pissed, because of course, again, West Coast people haven't even seen it yet. And you're already posted spoilers.
Who thought to do that?
I don't know.
Who thought of that crap?
I don't know, but that was. Anyway. I bet you they won't do it again. But yeah, but still, even so,
stupid.
Even so, watching it happen, it was just kind of like, because there wasn't just it wasn't like a Bob death, you know, the knife to the head. I mean, she got shot through the head, and we actually saw the back of her head come off. It's like there was no doubt in anyone's mind that this chick is dead. And it was just like the way they did it and the slow motion, and everybody in the group kind of had a delayed reaction, because they're like, wait, did that just happen? Like, what just happened? You know, and it's like, it was stupid for me, because I understand Beth was upset, but you don't go to an armed officer with a fucking scissors in your hand. Who comes out of that in a good place? It was so, and it's so funny, because of course Beth is, she is one of the impulsive ones in the group, but she also, to me, has been one of the ones that has had a little bit of a clearer head. You know, she didn't get this far being stupid. She didn't last that long in that hospital being stupid. You know, she made some smart moves. Mm-hmm. She did some smart things. And it was just like the way that that happened was totally just, it was, I don't know. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it happened. I mean, and this is just my thing.
Let me tell you though. Yeah, what?
This is my thing with Grimes and company. When Rick tells y'all that it's time to go in guns blazing, y'all need to stop with the no, that's not us, that's not who we are. And y'all need to listen to him, because y'all keep losing people that way. Y'all keep losing people that way.
No, you know what? No, they listen to Rick. And I mean, Rick listened to the team, and Rick, that was a really good decision on Rick's part to listen to them, because they had got what they wanted and they had come out on top, with the exception of losing the black guy. And everything was fine. And then, because Beth wasn't with them and got the talk about who we are and blah, 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 she decided to take upon herself, stab somebody with scissors, and the cop with the quick draw killed her. And then who killed the cop? Rick?
Daryl.
Okay. Daryl. She was killed. You know, and after she was killed, I found it really hard to believe that everybody didn't just start shooting.
Like, well, I didn't.
Beth shot,
one,
the cop shot.
Well, I didn't find it hard to believe because, one, the other cops couldn't stand on. They were looking for a way to get rid of her. To oust her as their so-called leader, which, again, that whole situation there confused me, because all those people who didn't like her, but she was the one that was in charge, but she was only in charge because she was letting the bad cops do what they wanted to do, they could have overthrown her at any minute. So none of that made sense to me, and she was not.
They all tried.
Man, please. It only takes two people. Look, it takes one person to hold her, another person to throw her out. They could have pushed her down the elevator shaft. They could have put her out on the street, whatever. But I just didn't understand the so-called power her character had. So, but we won't even go into that. She's dead now. It doesn't matter.
I think the power she had came from
a power structure that was held before, and because she like pretty much beat up the other leader, she gained control, you know what I'm saying? And so they just went with that because everybody else was going with it. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they kept, but at the same time, they said she was going the same way Hansen went. So, okay, if you see she's one of y'all need to step up and do what she did and take over. You know, that's just that was well,
it
just
was
my
a
hope.
It was a slow burn to her people losing. I mean, her losing her power. Like we saw it on the tail end. I think perhaps that before we came on the scene to see their little society, that she had power at once, but they were starting to like it was starting to show its cracks, and that's why things started happening. And then like towards the end, they started openly challenging her. So I think they could have been scared of her at first, or they didn't want to go up against her because they thought everybody else in the place was supporting her. So they was like, well, if we go up against her, then like everybody else is going to be against us and our whole society is going to fall apart. But right now, as we have it, everything is in line. People are in line. We have control. So let's just keep it this way. You know what I'm saying? Because people are lazy. I mean, that's the only reason that I saw for them not overthrowing her before, because her character was the most abusive, battered, I don't know what person that I've ever seen. I've never seen a woman be that terrible, you know what I'm saying, to other women, to allow like, well, I need to keep my officers in line, excuse me, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, if I was Beth, waited to the wrong time to try to stab her with the scissors. She should have tried that shit before and pushed her down the shaft with the zombies.
Right.
She should have done that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the thing is if Beth had done that earlier, then there's no one in charge to keep the rapey officers in check. And so, I mean, they probably would have just had her tied to a bed or something.
No,
you know,
I mean, there were some good officers there. Maybe the good officers would, without Dawn in place, maybe the good officers would have been willing to, you know, go against the other officers. But I guess now we'll never know, and she's dead, so great. But I don't know. I mean, just even with like Sasha trying to be nice to the other cop, the Bob cop, and him, you know, what he did, and you know, even going back to the first couple of episodes where you were saying about you know, them, the Terminus people killing Bob. Well, you have to think about it too. Tyrese had his chance to kill Martin, the guy who you know, was locked up, and he let him go, and Martin was one of the people that helped them catch Bob. So to me, it's kind of like it has that whole effect, like at some point you have to realize that now it's a kill or be killed world. When you see somebody who is posing a threat to you, you have to eliminate that threat. Martin had a knife to Judith's neck. There is no way in hell he should have been allowed to walk out of that place on his own two feet. Yet he did. He regrouped with Gareth and the other ones. And next thing you know, they're having barbecue for lunch. And then they're coming in. Barbecue! And then they're still, they still feel bold enough to come in and try to, you know, hurt Carl and Judith and Adrian and Michonne while they think the rest of the group is left. And again, that shows the stupidity of that group, because you really think after you just kidnapped one of our people that we're just gonna leave the most vulnerable ones alone and go search for y'all? See, they were stupid. They deserve to die. But
I agree with Rick that when they left Terminus and he was like, we got to go back in and kill them all.
Yes, they should have done that. And I think I even said that in the podcast that we did that night. You, me and Stephanie, we talked about that, and I said they need to listen to him, because you can't let people who are willing to go to that extreme, to, they put out radio signals, they brought people there, then they trapped them, they took their stuff, and the method of killing that they did in Terminus was so cruel. You don't let those kind of people live, especially when you just turned around and you just fucked all of that up for them. They're looking for you, they're looking for revenge, and they already know around what general area you're in, because there's not, you can't go too far without transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just a disaster waiting for happen. It's just a, I guess it's a miracle or good writing, however you want to put it, that Bob was the only person on their side that, you know, died because of it. Because that should have probably been a bigger bloodbath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially considering
that
I
wanted to see if them eating infected Bob tainted meat would have turned them into a zombie.
That scene was one of the That was one of the best scenes.
Oh my God. See, I watched the show late. I didn't watch it live. And all I kept seeing in my feed, I couldn't escape, was like, people didn't spoil it, but they kept talking about tainted meat. And I was just like, what are they talking about?
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm ready for it to come back.
It was good times, but
we've got a whole month.
I'm not saying Walking Dead is getting stale, but I am tired of the, hey, we found this great place, we want to welcome people in, it goes crap, we have to fight our way out. You know, we've done this with Woodbury. We've done this with
the prison.
Terminus. Yeah, the prison. Like, what are we going to do? The thing with them trying to make it to Washington, D.C., and then mullet doctors like, I don't know anything. Blah, blah, blah. I mean,
I don't even have any words. I don't even have any words for Eugene right now. I'm really surprised Abraham didn't kill him, because that hit.
Shit.
I thought he was done. So,
I think he's playing possum right now. He just staying down to try to think of his way out of this crap because he can't face everybody.
I don't know. It's gonna be very depressing when it comes back on, because of course you've got Maggie, who, you know, for a few moments thought she was gonna be reunited with her sister and then has to see her. That scene just broke my heart. Broke my heart. Just her reaction and just
She was like literally 30 minutes from seeing her sister alive.
Right. So it's just, I don't know. I want to see where they're going with it, with what direction they're going to take it in. And I'm purposefully not reading the novels now because I kind of want to see where the show goes with it. I already know, like, I've seen some spoilers from the graphic novels as far as who dies. So I'm fully expecting that there may be 3 more deaths within the Grimes group this season. I'm hoping it's not true, because the 3 people that I've heard is kind of like, okay, so what are they going to do then? And how, it's just, you know,
only 2 people remaining from the pot. Well, there's 3 remaining from the pilot is, Gwen. Glenn, Rick, and
Carol.
She wasn't in the pilot. She came.
Oh
later.
No! Yeah, that's right. Because she was.
What's the black guy? What's the black guy? The British black guy with the terrible Southern accent.
Martin. Is it Martin?
No.
I know who you're talking about. What is his name? Not Martin. Why can I not think of his name right now?
No, I want to call him Lawrence.
Talking about the one who saved him. Why
you know what,
can
people
I not
right
think
now
of his
listening?
Name?
People are right now listening and they're saying, "God damn it, Kat, you never remember anything. It's blah."
And the funny thing I knew it. He's a guy.
Morgan.
That's
Morgan.
Yes, Morgan. Yes, I knew it was an M something. Yes, Morgan. Yes.
He did it.
And, you know, we've been seeing bits and pieces of him at the end of certain episodes, so he's got to meet up with the group at some point, because even at the end of the last episode, I don't know if you actually watched through the credits, But they've been
pulling, yeah, I did.
Yeah, they've been pulling the Marvel on us. So it's like you'll see little bits and pieces of him. Like he went to the school where they took Bob, and he saw the leg on the, you know, the leg being thrown around, or that was thrown around, and he went back to the church and he found the map that had Rick's name on it. So now he knows who is in this group that he's been following. So I don't know how that's going to work out. Like, because Morgan was kind of crazy the last time we saw him. Now he looks he looks like he's kind of back in fighting mode. So I don't know what's changed for him and how that's going to affect the group, but I'm really tired of seeing bits and pieces of him. I want to see how he fits in with the group. Because that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, so who's leaving the marks? Do we know who's leaving the marks on the tree? I forgot.
I have no clue. I don't know if that's him or if that was something the Terminus people were doing. I think maybe the Terminus people were doing it. I don't know. Because they left marks in the tree when they took Bob.
Right. I was like, I feel like I saw somebody leave marks on the tree, but I forgot. And so, yeah, I thought it was Terminus, but now that Morgan is following Terminus marks, it doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I guess we'll figure that out. But what about this new spinoff show that they're doing? You know, they're doing a spinoff.
You know, they've been threatening that for like years.
Well, they've actually started casting for it now. They actually have a cast put together.
Either it's going to be like Vampire Diaries and Originals is better, and maybe this spinoff show will be better, but I don't know.
Well, I know this one, I believe, is taking place in California. So it's going to be a totally different setting. So now we get to see
I don't know. Is that in the graphic novels? Is this just a new concept? I heard it was going to be a prequel. I mean, I don't know.
I don't think it's a prequel. I think it's taking place. I think it's supposed to be taking place around the same time with the original show, but in a totally different area. Because, of course, we're in Georgia. So they're in California. So the zombie apocalypse may be something totally different there. Or it may not be as bad yet. Because at this point, we don't know how everything else was affected. We only know what's been going on in Georgia. So we don't know, you know, we know the bombs when they napalmed Atlanta, they had to come from somewhere. So we don't know if that was the outside trying to eliminate the one threat, or if it actually spread to outside Georgia, or what the case was. So I guess this will give us a chance to see, and maybe it'll be good, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, not too many. I don't know too many spinoff shows that come off better than the original, except for, and Vampire Diaries is one of those exceptions, because Vampire Diaries, I live for that show. Vampire Diaries, it's getting back to where it was at the beginning, I think mainly
I can't
now.
Even watch it anymore.
Well, the main thing is Elena doesn't remember that she was in love with Damon, so that changed the whole dynamic of the
season.
Okay,
did you just spoil me?
Well, yeah, but
Hanukkah. Look, you know, even though I said I was done with it, didn't mean for you to just start spouting out spoilers. I was gonna watch it eventually.
Well, maybe that's a motivation for you to watch it, because then you won't have.
Oh, I love you and your motivation. You're always throwing stuff out.
Well, I didn't throw out anything big. I just said that she didn't
remember.
Can't
take you nowhere.
I didn't say it was a permanent thing, a temporary thing. I didn't say if she was on another plane of existence or anything like that.
Stop talking.
So, I will say this. We've been seeing a lot more Bonnie this season. So, you know.
Oh, she's not dead?
Well, in Vampire Diaries and Mystic Falls, dead doesn't necessarily mean dead. You know, people come back as ghosts. People get brought back to life. People are other planes of existence. You know, you just never know. But we've been seeing a lot of Bonnie. So it could be flashbacks. Could be anything. But we've been seeing a lot more Bonnie.
All right, stop talking.
So I know Daryl was glad that Bonnie was back being shown a little more.
Of course.
But yeah,
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I know Originals was really good, and I didn't. I stopped watching that too, mainly because I started
you
having
have
too many.
No, you have to go back and watch that.
I will revisit it. I will revisit it. It's just that it started feeling like a chore to watch.
No,
and so
you have to go
them,
back because the last few episodes have been so awesome.
I mean, I'll do it eventually. That's fine. We'll do it. But you know, let's see what's coming up this season so far. I think maybe we'll get some more Penny Dreadful, some more Salem, Arrow, Flash, Grimm.
Yeah, I think Salem is not starting until spring, so that's probably maybe March, April sometime, and I'm really excited for that one. Salem was one of those shows I was kind of, it looked good when you saw the previews, and I was kind of like, okay, but they don't usually do very well, especially on network TV. As far as those kinds of shows, historical drama with a little bit of supernatural occult twist to it. But Salem was one of those shows that sucked me in.
It was crazy.
That Mary Sibley chick, she's crazy, she's gorgeous, but she's smart. And it was just, that show like literally sucked me in. And then of course, anything with Shane West in it, I'll watch. So
Lord, here we go.
So let's see what else.
We got a lot of shows that we want to, you know, try to, get to keep on top of in the next year. We're not going to promise anything, but I think we put out a fair amount of shows this year, right? I mean,
yeah,
we did a lot more than last year.
We did. But we've got a lot more people to talk with now, so it's just kind of awesome because everybody's watching totally different stuff, so we've been able to spread the love a little bit.
Yeah, and then Hanako, she's gonna learn how to edit shows.
Yes,
and
that's one of my New
Year's
resolutions.
Maybe we can convince her to have a spinoff podcast. We don't know. We'll just try. We're trying.
Yeah, we've been there's been some talk of that for a couple of years between me and Aunt. So
we might make something happen, you know?
Yeah. And then of course we got the crew together at Dragon Con this last year, and hopefully maybe again this year. That was fun, even though I didn't get to spend a whole bunch of time with everybody because cell phone coverage sucks when you come to Dragon Con, just so you guys will know in the future.
Oh my God, it was miserable. But the cell phone coverage, not Dragon Con. It was so much fun. And it was my first big convention, but I was exhausted the whole time. But, you know, I don't think that I'm making it this year, mainly because I'm still in school and it would be just too much for me to handle at the beginning of a semester, because I did that and I just never recovered. The semester. And so after I graduate in spring 2016, perhaps then 2016, it's just me missing 1 year. So, But I think we should go ahead and wrap this one up, Hanako. I think we gave people a good, tease, a taste.
Yeah, I think we did good. We covered a lot. and the funny thing is, we covered a lot, and we still didn't cover everything. So, you know, maybe we'll do this again before real life starts again. I think I don't go back to work until Monday.
Look at you.
Yeah, so maybe we can get a couple more things out the way before the end. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah, we know. Let us know what you want to hear. Of course, send your corrections to 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. You can reach us at scifipartyline on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
end of line.